Large swaths of Americans today feel that our nation is headed in the wrong direction. Much of that has to do with the way God has been systematically drummed out, of American education. And yet Sam Adams, one of America's greatest founding fathers, said this, "Let divines and philosophers, statesmen and patriots, unite their endeavors to renovate the age by impressing on people the importance of educating their little boys and girls, of inculcating in the minds of youth the fear and love for the deity and universal philanthropy, and in subordination to these great principles, the love of their country, of instructing them in the art of self-government, without which there can never be a wise part in the government of societies, great or small. In short, of leaving them in the study and practice of exalted virtues of the Christian system." This is something that Sam Adams said. Now, Wallace Henley used to work for the White House at one point. He's had some work in terms of journalism, but he's also written some books, and he joins us now to talk about this subject. Overall, really, in effect, the topic for this portion of Vocal Point is revival or ruin. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome back to the program Wallace Henley. And by the way, Wallace Henley, in a ChristianPost.com article a few months ago, talked about how what we need to do is make America godly again. Wallace, thanks so much for joining us again.
Jerry, it's a great pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Sure. Can you explain to us the implications of that quote from Sam Adams? Obviously written about 200 years ago, it doesn't seem to have the same, impact of, we don't have the same understanding. You know, part of the problem is we have the dumbing down of America, so even a quote like that is hard to understand. Just like it's hard to read, let's say, Charles Dickens because of all the 19th century vocabulary and so forth, which, by the way, was a better vocabulary than our vocabulary. But your thoughts, what was Sam Adams basically saying?
As we look at Old Testament Israel, we can begin to kind of understand where Sam Adams is coming from, because God's dealing with Old Testament Israel showed that there were certain stages in its relationship to him, just as there have been with other nations in modern times even. The first level was ratification, where all of the important consensus makers agreed that God is God. He's the Lord of our nation. We're going to submit our nation to him. But there then comes a tragic relapse of memory when people forget God. This is all found in Joshua and Judges in the Bible. When people forget God, then there comes a time of rebellion, which is the outcome of forgetting God. And then there comes a stage of sudden refiner's fire, when the consequence of rebellion begins to fall out on the nation and people begin to ask, what did we forget? Then comes a time of repentance. And repentance is a turning back of the culture, the nation, the individual, the church, whatever it might be, the turning back to God. And as that occurs, then comes revival, when there's a new surgency of encouragement and enthusiasm and a desire for holiness. And then comes another cycle of this. And so in the context of the quote you read, I would say that he was talking at a time when the establishment would allow him to say that. Today, the establishments would not allow him to say that at all. They would boot him out. They would ridicule him. They would make sure he won no Pulitzer Prize or whatever it might be. That he would become canceled, in other words. So anyone who speaks those words in this time must have a tremendous amount of hope and faith that change can come.
Well, I'm reminded of another quote from a founding father. This one is shorter. It's from Patrick Henry, but he said, "It is when a nation forgets God that the tyrants forge their chains."
We're living in a time of tremendous tyranny, and I traveled a lot in the Soviet bloc after the collapse of communism, and it was so refreshing because the leaders who came to our leadership workshops were so excited to hear about the foundations of the Word of God for a culture and a society. But now we here are under persecution sometimes, or at least ridicule, if we pick up the message that we gave to those people emerging from decades of communism. So I pray that somehow there will be an awakening in America that will help people, the average person, to understand what is really happening and how the consensus establishments have created a gospel, a false gospel that we must embrace or be canceled.
Well, you know, I will say this. I am a student of American history, and especially how the Bible played a key role. I've written books about this and made programs and documentary series and so forth. ProvidenceForum.org for more information, if I could put in a little plug here. But one thing is just undeniable is that in the first couple of hundred, so first two centuries, really, of America, so starting with the colonies beginning, you know, from with British North America. Let's begin with Jamestown, 1607. There is no question that for the first 200 years, that for the most part, the Bible, in one way or another, was the chief textbook in those places, and it really caused not only a biblically literate society, it caused a literate society. And so, John Adams, for example, said, as far as New England was concerned, to find an illiterate man in New England was as rare as a comet. And literacy, not just biblical literacy, but literacy per se brings a blessing to it. And now we find literacy rates are dropping because the Bible's been kicked out of our education.
Well, you've done a lot of work in the area of worldview studies. And whatever sets the worldview of a culture becomes its Bible. And so you're referring to a time when the Bible did indeed define the worldview and the understanding of which our society, on which our society was built. Now, of course, there's something else altogether. I'm not even going to venture a guess here, but there are other things that constitute the Bible, small b, in our culture at this time, as proven by the radical changes in our worldview.
Okay, so what do you think we could do? I mean, Christians feel overwhelmed because the evil is just all around us. The woke agenda is so strong. A cancel culture cancels us if we, you know, dare speak the truth.
I believe that every church ought to become a center of education. I believe every home ought to become a center of the same thing, of education, of learning and knowledge. Because it's the church and the home that play the part in shaping the way young people receive information and what they do with it, how they process it. So I believe that churches and families must recommit themselves very strongly to being the primary people involved in the education of children. This, I think, must happen, or there's not going to be any significant change.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I can think of a young man that I know personally that is involved where his family wouldn't want him to go to college, and I don't think he himself wants to go to college in light of the fact that too many college educations these days are really, you know, you get a degree in indoctrination. You won't get a real education. You certainly won't get a liberal arts education, a well-rounded education. You certainly won't get a biblically oriented education. And yet, this man has his whole life ahead of him, and so if he just does some technical things, he can, you know, advance only so far, and this guy's got, you know, potentially a great future. So it's really kind of scary. I hate what's happened where the education system has just been strangled. The left has a stranglehold over it, and people are getting worthless degrees. Oh, they're not even getting great jobs often when they come out because these are worthless degrees. And is this the future of America?
Well, I'm 81 years old, and people, of course, accuse me of saying, you want the good old times back. But here's what I remember about the education that I received. I was taught to think critically, but I was also taught that there is a profound boundary or source of our understanding of principles. And then in public schools, I would find out about that. There was the Word of God, the Bible. But I was also taught to think critically, to ask questions, and to have the courage to face up to those who were trying to drive me away from that source of truth. We've got to get that worldview reinstated in our culture. The consensus establishment in any culture is like the Chaldeans in the time of Babylon, Daniel in Babylon, when Nebuchadnezzar wanted the Chaldeans to instruct them in the worldview, essentially, of that culture, rather than the worldview they had known as faithful Jews. And so the consensus establishment now is the information establishment, that is the high tech stuff, the tech elites, the information establishment, the entertainment establishment, the academic establishment, the governing establishment, and the corporate establishment. These set the pace. These set the worldview in place. And they have very powerful means of driving that into us, propagandizing us with that. This is what we have to be able to teach about and warn against. And the most effective places for that to happen is church and home.
And where does Bible instruction fit into this?
Bible instruction is right at the core of what is taught in church and home. Every principle that we derive for freedom in our culture emerges from the Word of God. Psalm 78 defines real clearly how that is to be done. It is to be done with respect for history and to recognize that our history has been a transaction with God Himself in the building of nations.
Isn't it interesting how some politicians, and here I'm talking about politicians on the left, basically talk about schools and teachers as if they own the children and they're responsible for the education of the children, and you parents should butt out if you disagree?
This is why family and church have to step up to the plate. And this is why parents, I have great grandchildren, and I'm so grateful for my grandchildren, who themselves are taking responsibility for the education of their children. And it's a blessing for me to look at my great-grandchildren and see how God is using that in their lives. It's tremendous, because their parents have risen to the task. They've recognized what is happening, and they've said, no, not us, not this home, not this family.
You know, I think along these lines, too, is that even if we do, allow the children to be taught, you know, in a school or whatever, the teacher is in parental locus. In other words, they're in the place of the right. The parent. And God will hold the parent accountable for the education of the children, regardless of how that education, you know, takes place.
That's absolutely correct. And sometimes that judgment comes in the most graphic of kinds of ways, and very quickly, when the consequences, again, going back to Israel, when the consequences of forgetting God and forgetting God in our culture, when that begins to come down. We're living through that right now, when we're experiencing the consequence of choices that have been made in the past that have led to the point where we are at this stature of history.
You know, the Sam Adams quote that I said at the very beginning, one of the points he made is he talked about the art of self-government, that we need to have self-control, you know, under God. And that's part of what the whole problem is. Things, society's broken down because people don't have morals, because they don't have God, and they have no self-rule. Okay, we have about 1 minute left. You can wax eloquent on that if you would.
I've written a book recently called Who Will Rule the Coming Gods, which raises the question of what kind of people are programming the machines that are increasingly dominating our society. And the great tragedy is we've forgotten transcendence. The very thing you were just mentioning, that we're accountable to God. Transcendent means that we understand that there's someone or something to whom we must give an account for what we have and what we've done with what God gave us. And because we've lost transcendence, every time we lose transcendence, we start making idols, because we're made for that, for God's transcendent majesty. And so we've got to cover that sense that God is holy, and that we're accountable to Him for the way we raise our families and the way we grow ourselves.
Okay, 15-second closing thought. Revival or ruin? ?
Revival or ruin is indeed in history seen as the example. Revival or ruin means we either turn to God and His transcendence, or we turn to those who are trying to make us woke and their transcendence.
Okay, Wallace Henley, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
My pleasure.